It's warm, isn't it? So please don't fall asleep as I'm talking. If you do, I won't think it's because I'm boring. I think it's just warm, but that's okay. As Graham said, we're on our third week in the series of the God story. And once again, as we start, I want to encourage you, it's not too late to read. It's not too late to join in with us on the journey of reading the God story book, because three chapters in, even me who's dyslexic could probably catch up on those three chapters. So let's give it a go. You can buy it on Amazon. It's a great book. And as I said before, we'll be preaching it every week, but we'll be picking up one theme from the chapter every week rather than trying to preach the whole chapter because there's so much goodness in there. As Graham said, week one, I had the privilege of preaching on the origin, so on creation story. And my theme was, you are loved, loved from the start. And that was, for me, I had such a great time preparing that and falling more and more in love with God and how much he loves me. Week two, Steve preached to us. I managed to listen to that during the week. Sadly, I wasn't very well last week. And he preached a great preach on the topic of the fall, looking at humanity's rebellion and rejection of God. And his little slogan was, shame hides us, but grace finds us. Which was brilliant. That stuck with me all week, that grace finds me. And I thought that was beautiful. And we get to Genesis 12, where we are today, and we're preaching on this topic. It's chapter 3, is called the seed of the promise. The seed of promise. And suddenly in Genesis 12, we hit this man called Abraham, who becomes Abraham. So for ease today, I will try and say Abraham the whole way through, but the actual passage I'm going to look at, he's called Abram. So let's just go with me today, because it's quite tricky going between Abram, Abraham, Abram, Abraham. So just go with me on that. If I say Abraham, I mean Abraham. If I say Abram, I mean Abraham as well. Okay, so we're going to look from Genesis 12 onwards. The book goes all the way to the end of Genesis. Don't worry, because that's Genesis 50. Don't worry, I'm not going to preach the entirety of the rest of Genesis today. Otherwise, you really would be here for a long time. So I'm just going to focus in on this thing where Abraham appears on the scene, and we get this topic that I think screams at us from the beginning of his introduction. Just trust and obey. There's that song, isn't there? Trust and obey, for there's no other way. And I think today, keep that in your heads. Just trust and obey. Trust and obey. So when Abraham enters a story, there's a narrative shift that's supposed to strike us. After so much rebellion and chaos that's been going on up to now after the fall, including the fall, here's a man who, while he's not perfect, listens to God and responds in faith. There's a striking difference when Abraham appears. God starts this new chapter of his story, his love story, through a relationship with a human being, and that person's choice to trust and obey, and their decision to trust and obey becomes a turning point in history. Today, I want us to walk through this whole kind of passage together. We'll read it together in a moment. But I want you to walk away with this truth in your hearts, that when it comes to following Jesus, obedience isn't optional. It's essential. Trust and obey is the only way. So now, obedience is a funny thing, though, isn't it? It doesn't seem to always come naturally. I don't know if you think about obedience in your life and trusting in your life. To be honest, I quite like rules. I don't know what it is about me. I like rules. I do often try and stick to them. Lay often teases me that I make up rules in my head without telling anyone else, and especially Lay, and then I get annoyed or frustrated when people don't stick to those rules, but I've never actually told them the rules in the first place, so how can they stick to them? But even I like to rebel sometimes. I got a little bit of a rebellious streak. Sometimes I don't like to stick to rules. Sometimes I think, oh, this is a bit annoying. Maybe I just do it my own way. So I want to tell you a quick story about when I was 16 or 17. Now, I tell you my age because when you hear the story, you might think, oh, it must have been about 7 or 8. No, I was 16 or 17 when this happened. I was at my home, living with my parents, and basically what happened was I was asked by my parents to tidy my bedroom. Now, my bedroom wasn't the tidiest. I wouldn't say being tidy is necessarily a spiritual gift I've been given to this day. It doesn't come naturally to me to keep my bedroom tidy. Lay is great at helping me in that. But when I was 16 and 17, my bedroom was messy. And my parents said, tidy your bedroom. And then what came with it was I wanted to go out to my friend's house, and they said, tidy your bedroom before you go out. So there was a clear instruction there. There's a clear moment of, like, do I obey what my parents say or do I rebel? So what happened was I decided that I knew best. And I, as a classic teenager, let's picture my bedroom for a moment. So my bed, it was a single bed, and then you could see the bed. You see the bed wasn't really made from memory. And on the floor, there was like crisp packets. There was PlayStation controllers. There would have been, I always got told off for this all the time, tons of dirty cups next to my beds on my bedside cabinet. There was just loads. My room was a mess. If anything, it needed help, not just me, to sort it out. They asked me to tidy it, and I thought, I've got three choices here. Either I say yes and obey, or the secondly, I say reject it and say, I don't want to do that. Or thirdly, I go, I'll do it my way. I'll go out first. I'll tidy it later. It will still get done. I went for number three. I rebelled against my parents and thought, I'll go out, hang out with my friends, do it tomorrow. It will still get done. So when I was out, I suddenly get a phone call from my mum. I thought, this is weird, isn't it? Why is mum phoning? And she said, come home now. You haven't tidied your bedroom. Now, at 16 and 17, that's quite an embarrassing moment in itself. What gets more embarrassing, suddenly, there's a knock on my friend's door, because I had said, no, I'm not coming home. My parents had come to collect me and said, you're going home and you're tidying your bedroom. I was so, so embarrassed. Went home, tidied my bedroom, and we still talk about it as a family now. That was one of my most embarrassing moments. Do I tell you that just because it's a funny story? No, not at all. Not at all. I tell you that because I think that's how many of us treat God's voice. We hear him, and we have this moment of, do I obey, go with what he's telling me to do? Do I reject and say, I don't want to do what you're telling me to do, God? Or do I adapt? Do I agree with God in theory, but think I know best? So essentially today, that's what I want us to walk away with, because here's the truth. Our obedience response to God reveals our true heart position. It reveals who is in charge. Is it me or God? It reveals who I trust the most, who I think knows best, me or God again. And church, this is an honest, hard truth from the beginning. Let's be honest, for too long, many of us have said yes to salvation, but no to his lordship. And when God spoke to me about this week, this message is just as much for me. I was struck by that. How many times have I said yes to the joy of salvation, but no to his rule and reign over my life? And I think we're all in that boat together. I'm sure we've all felt that time when God has spoken to us and we have those three options of obey, reject, adapt. And I think that's why this message is so important for every single one of us here. You're probably given situations maybe going through your head right now where you've said yes to God and it's been great, or you've rejected God and it's not been so good, or you've adapted the plan and it hasn't gone great because we've gone against what God has said. Thankfully, the Bible talks about the importance of obedience, and it's all over the Bible. But in this person of Abraham we're looking at today, I think we see Abraham trusted and obeyed God from the moment we're introduced to him. Now, this, as I said, this topic of Abraham, I could have covered so much stuff, but I think we need to focus today, church, on trusting and obeying God. So let me read from Genesis 12, verse 1 to 5. This is when we're first, Abraham is mentioned slightly before this, but this is our first real introduction to him. It says this, now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and to him who dishonors you I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So Abram went, and as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered. And the people that had acquired in Haran, they also set out to go to the land of Canaan. So I think from this story, we see two things about trusting and obeying. we see the necessity to hear the call and to respond to the call, to follow the call. So let's look at hearing the call, first of all. So to trust and obey, we need to know what biblical obedience really is. We need to know what is this thing I'm talking about, trusting and obeying. What does that really mean? So to me, trusting and obeying is different to just keeping rules. It isn't just sticking to, you've been told to do this, so I'm going to do it. Obedience and trusting goes way beyond that. It's a much richer idea than following rules. Biblical obedience, to me, is the act of submitting to God's will by listening to his will and doing what it says. And we do that out of love and trust and reverence for him. It goes beyond mere rule following and is deeply relational. It is rooted in response to who God is and what he has done for us. And when we look at the person of Abraham, we often jump to Abraham's immediate obedience, and we will look at that. But let's not miss what comes first, relationship. It is rooted in relationship. And I think in this story and the wider God story we're looking at, we see there's two levels of relationship that shape Abraham's response. We see relationship to God, from God to humanity in the corporate, and we see relationship from God to Abraham in the personal. See, Abraham's story is rooted in God's faithful love story that we're reading about at this moment with his people and its unfolding narrative. We read in the God story of God longing to come close to his people and saying, you are loved. See, Genesis 11, just before what we read, there's importance there. You might be bored if you read it. It just tells you a bit of a genealogy of what's going on. But what we notice is that Abraham's ancestry goes back to Shem, and Shem is the son, one of the sons of Noah. Why does that matter? Is it just a bit of interesting Bible trivia? Well, I think it's way more than that. Abraham isn't just a random person God has picked. What God is doing, he is preserving a faithful line from which we see Adam to Seth, to Noah, to Shem, to Abraham. There's this faithful lineage of God, of people that where the rest of the world is rebellion, there's people that are faithfully saying yes to him because God wants to work with faithful, loving people. And as we see that there is an unfolding narrative of God where he wants to carry people forward to know him and love him and worship him. And despite all the human rebellion that's going on, think about the Tower of Babel we spoke about, which is also in Genesis 11, God is faithfully working behind the scenes to preserve a remnant of people who will carry forward his promises. Shem's line leads to Abraham, and through Abraham, it leads to a nation, Israel. And through Israel, it leads to a Savior, Jesus Christ. We see this beautiful lineage going on, and we'll talk about this as we journey through the God story of God's faithful promise to a people that brings salvation through God himself, Jesus Christ. And what we see is this lineage, as I said, leads to Jesus, who will crush the head of the snake. Satan himself will be destroyed when God comes. See, God's very nature is love and relationship, as we spoke about week one. And we see that this leads to this moment with Abraham. Can you see, church, the overarching narrative that we're weaving through Scripture? God saying again and again, and I know this is my phrase from week one, you are loved. As we read rebellion and we focus then in on Abraham, we see God's narrative going through and through and through, constantly reminding us that it's his plan to redeem us and to show us that we are loved. See, in this moment, God is outworking his longing to be close to humanity, to restore that what was lost, which Steve spoke about last week. And as Steve said, in this moment, grace is finding us. In the midst of rebellion, grace is finding us. But Abraham's faithful obedience can only take place because our loving, faithful Father came first. He comes close to his humanity out of his desire of love for the pinnacle of creation. And as we move on to Abraham's personal relationship with God, we see that the corporate is important, but so is the personal. Genesis 12 shows us a deep personal encounter between God and Abraham. Interestingly enough, God calls Abraham before Abraham has done anything at all. Isn't that also the story of the gospel, where we were still in sin, and as sinners, Jesus came? It's always God that's on the move first, and we're supposed to pick these things up through the Old Testament of what God is going to do when Jesus comes. Abraham was chosen not because he was good, not because he had qualifications, not on merit at all, but he was chosen because God loves and is love. This is beautiful, isn't it? To me, I look at that and go, thank you, God, that it's not down to me. It's down to your love and your faithfulness. And then out of that comes my acceptance of who you are and my surrender to your will, your lordship. So when we look at this Genesis story that we read earlier on, I left that little A bit in. Usually I get rid of the bits that the A's and the B's that you can got the footnotes with, but I left that one in on purpose because Genesis 12, 1-3 can also be retranslated, the Lord had said. And this is it's really important for us here because what we're saying here, and lots of scholars have said this, in other words, God is saying, I've said this before, and I'm going to say it again to you, Abraham. And basically, what we notice here is that Abraham has an ongoing relationship with God. And that is actually miraculous, because I don't know if you know, but in Joshua 24, verse 2, it tells us about Abraham's life before this incident. And basically, he's with his family, and what are they doing? It's striking, really. They're worshipping other gods. It's not like Abraham's in a great place right now. It's not like, as I said, he's not picked on merit at all. He's not actually doing anything that he's supposed to do. He's worshipping foreign gods. And what God says is, I love you, and out of you and out of your lineage, I'm going to bring Jesus who saves. So God is on the move first, isn't he? And it's a beautiful thing because, as I said, that is a story of the gospel. And I just wanted to take a moment here this morning that if you have not said yes to Jesus and you are not a Jesus follower, and I will say this again later on, he is calling you into the most beautiful, loving relationship you will ever have. He is saying, and we'll get onto this later on, he is saying, listen to me, trust me, obey me, and follow me. It's beautiful. So if you're not a Christian here today, can I encourage you just to take a moment to ask him to reveal himself to you? You won't regret it. So as I said, in that moment, he says the Lord had said. And what we see here is that Abraham is learning to recognize and follow God's voice. And as we hear God, and we do believe God still speaks today, what it does to our heart, it molds us in love to respond to him and become more like him. We become captivated by his love for us. And when we hear those quiet nudges through the Holy Spirit, or we read the Word of God, the Bible, and we hear God speak, our heart has already been molded to hear the voice, and it helps us to be ready to respond with a yes, with an obey, rather than an option two, a reject, or an option three, and I'm going to do what you say, but I'm going to do it in my own way. What we see here as well, that Abraham's story is also a story of changing direction. God speaks to Abraham, and from that moment, we see a change in direction of travel. Everyone else, this is one of my favorite themes in Genesis. I absolutely love it. I talked about it in my Connect group during the week. Everyone else in Genesis seems to be moving east. They go out of the garden from the east gate, and as the story develops, more and more, the people are just rebelling against God, and they're doing this direction of travel eastwards. Now, Abraham hears the word of God, and he goes from Ur to Haran. Now, if you had a map in front of you, you would see that's northwest. There is a change of direction, and the original readers wouldn't have to look it up in a map. They just would have known it. They probably wouldn't have been maps in the same way we have maps. They would have known that, Abraham has gone westward. And that is supposed to strike us as well. But sadly, in our British understanding, it doesn't strike us. We have to do a bit of research on that. So Abraham moves northwest. Now, this isn't just a geographical change. I believe this is telling us there is a theological change right now as well. We've gone from rebellion of people to someone who's starting to come closer to God, as God is always drawing closer to his people. See, Abraham goes against the flow of the world. While others are moving away from God, Abraham walks towards him. Isn't that what trusting and obeying really looks like? When the world is walking away from God, we choose to walk towards him. The interaction should also bring us hope. As I mentioned before, he was worshipping foreign gods, but Abraham was spoken to by God with a commissioning, and he responded. So no matter what your life situation is today, whether you're sitting here thinking, God is not my number one, how am I supposed to trust and obey? Well, let's be encouraged by the fact that nor was Abraham following God and trusting God. And he is saying to you today, and he's speaking to you today, will you trust and obey and get rid of your foreign gods and follow me? Will I become the Lord of your life? Maybe your God is your phone. Maybe you... this spoke to me so much, if I'm really honest. Maybe it's like you spend so much time on your phone that your phone is not, your phone is your God and Jesus is not your number one. Maybe your God is popularity. That is what you always strive for, is being popular. Maybe your God is your looks and that is your number one in your life. Or maybe your God is another religion. Or maybe your God is atheism, not the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what your God is today, if it's not him, he is calling you to follow him and obey him and make him your number one. See, when we trust and obey God, we see his divine loving plan for humanity played out. We see his desire for a personal relationship with each one of us, and we stop walking away from him and we start walking towards him. And then we move on to following the call. So he's heard. So out of relationship, trust has been built. But then we have this moment. What will Abraham do? Will he respond in obedience or will he say, no, I'm not doing that? Thankfully, Abraham takes number one option. He obeys in this case. He has that moment and he says this. He says, so Abraham went. So it says, Abraham went as the Lord has told him and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. What a simple statement, yet so powerful. So Abraham went as the Lord had told him. There's no big fanfare. There's no paragraph praising Abraham's courage and trust and obedience in that moment. It's simply, so Abraham went. And that struck me when I was reading this passage. I was like, why, God? If I was writing this, I'd be like, Abraham was so faithful that he heard God and he gave everything. He took his possessions but left the land and he left his father's household and then he went here and he did this. And I'd be like praising Abraham, saying he's so good. He's so good and it is so good. But why isn't that paragraph there? Because I think God is saying this should be the norm. Obedience should be our normal response to God. And sometimes real obedience often looks simple on the outside, but it comes from a deep trust on the inside. Faithfully trusting and obeying God is costly at times. What was Abraham asked to leave? It says his land, his family, and then what we see is his land. That was what he was familiar with. That was his culture. That was his customs. That was his economy. Everything was wrapped up in the land he was living in. His family, that was his support network. That was with the authority he fell under. We're told that his dad made a decision to move, so they all moved. When God is saying, leave your land and leave your father's household, this isn't a small thing. It's not like we do today when we just leave our house and go and live in a different house away from our parents. This is massive in the culture of the time. This is saying, I'm rejecting everything that holds me together. All my security, I'm saying, no, I'm getting rid of that and I'm going to follow you. But the one thing Abraham is not told to give up is God. And that is his ultimate security, is there. He is called to give everything he knew up, everything he thought he could rely on, except God. Now, our call today might not be to leave our country. But God still tells us to step away from our self-reliance, our comfort zones, and our worldly priorities. How often do we forget the words of Jesus, where he told us to put God above family, or his words where he tells us to die to oneself and pick up our cross? Obedience is costly, And it cost Jesus his life. God calls us out of the comfort and tells us to be content, but not comfortable. So, and trust in our being means that we step out not knowing all the answers. Did you notice that Abraham isn't given the full picture? He just says this. I actually love this. He says, go to the land I will show you. Oh, I tell you what, if God said that to me, I would be in a right panic. I'd be like, God, can you at least tell me where I'm going? You got any Instagram photos so I can see what it's like? What's the good food places there? Is it like Middle Eastern food? Because I kind of like that quite a lot. I'd have so many questions for God. But Abraham doesn't. He's not given a full picture. We're just told he goes. We've just spoken about that. So sometimes God calls us into the unknown because he's calling us to trust and obey him. Because he knows, even if we don't. And the unknown can be scary, can't it? You ever got lost at night in an area you don't know? I remember I went to Istanbul once and we were walking home and I went down the wrong street. And I was like, oh no, I am so scared. I don't know where I am and I don't know where to walk. Is this safe? All these questions. The unknown is scary. But when Abraham is called to go to a new place, he doesn't hesitate. He'd have every reason to, but he trusted and obeyed, didn't he? See, this is the real call of radical obedience, where faith overcomes fear. And I spoke on that a few weeks ago, if you want to re-listen to that one. God calls us to trust him, even when the road ahead is unclear. Obedience is still the best way, even in uncertainty. We also see in the story that trusting and obeying requires action. Abraham didn't just hear, he moved. So Abraham went, he acted, he walked, he trusted. Too often, church, we have heard God on issues like mission and justice and holiness and identity and obedience as a whole, and we've heard but not acted. God doesn't want a church that just listens. He wants a church that acts upon it. Think about James 1, verse 22. It says, do not merely listen to the word. Then a little bit else comes. It says, do what it says. What a clear message we're told. We're told to listen, obey, act. This is the Christian life. If you're not a Christian here today, you can sit back and relax because I have no authority to tell you what to do. But if you have said yes to Jesus today, that is the life you said yes to. A life that listens to God, obeys what he says, and acts upon it. We also see, as we in this passage we spoke about before, trusting and obeying requires patience. Although Abraham responded to a call in that moment, we had also mentioned that he'd heard it before. And we have a real importance, and what we can learn is that we need to do things in God's timing and in his own way. Abraham was commanded to go, and he went, but we look... A clear example in his life was when and we see it in this moment, he's told he's going to be made into a great nation, which means he has to have a son, the way it worked in the time. And we're told in the chapter before, Sarai is barren, so that's like an impossibility. And so he's like, okay, I trust you, but I'm going to do it my own way. I'm going to get, we won't go into the whole story, get someone pregnant, his wife's servant, and they have Ishmael. And he's essentially, when you go back to my story, he's taken option three. He's moved away from option one of obedience. He stepped into option three of saying, I trust in you theoretically, theology, but I want to do it my own way. And that's not okay, church. How often do we hear the promises of God? How often do we hear his call and we rush ahead of his timing and then get frustrated when it hasn't gone right? Or when we get frustrated that the promise hasn't come to fruition because we've gone in our own strength and in our own time. And Abraham is a great example. He hears once, he moves slightly. He hears again and he moves. And that's all going well. But when he goes in his own way, in his own thing, it all goes wrong. We have to be a church where we trust and obey. And we trust and obey in his timing. And we act upon it, because waiting is also an act of action and trust. So God is calling us today. He is speaking to us today. What does it really matter to you? Another way we could put that is, so what and now what? This message is so important because it deeply matters to every single one of us in here, whether you said yes to Jesus or not. Because if you said yes to Jesus, if you don't trust and obey, we risk missing out on what God wants us to do through us and in us and around us. God wants to use us. He wants us to reveal his love, to bring his hope, and to extend his kingdom. Although he doesn't need us to do that, he wants to use that, and that depends on our willingness to trust and obey. We're also at stake is our own spiritual formation. As Abraham listened to God, we said his heart was molded. We missed the chance of becoming more like God. As we said, Abraham's journey wasn't just geographical, it was formational. Say yes to him and he will mold you to become more like Jesus. And God is still changing people today. He's still calling us. He's still shaping us. The Holy Spirit speaks to us and guides us and is asking us to say yes to God and be obedient. But now what? That's great. You might think, yes, I can do that. I want to do that. But what can we really do practically on that front? And I've just got a little bit of application that I think all of us can do this week, no matter what situation you are in. And I want us to simply trust God. Now, I put trust God like that because I think it's called an acronym. I'm not very good at these sort of things. So, brilliant. Thank you. Acronym time. Okay, trust. First T is actually time. Why don't this week you carve out 10 minutes, just 10 minutes to stop, to pause the noise and create space for God to speak? And in that moment, why don't you look at our relationship? Why don't you build your relationship with God? Ask him to speak to you. Invite him in to share his heart for you in that moment. Learn to recognize his voice like Abraham did. You understand, pay attention to what God is saying, write it down, maybe talk to another Christian who can help you understand what God is saying, because we don't always get it right ourselves. We're told to weigh things up. S, start. Don't stop at hearing. Don't stop. Start what God has asked you to do. Put it into action. Maybe that's having a conversation with someone that God is prompting to you. Maybe it's sending a message, or maybe it's talking and taking advice. Maybe you could ask someone on the leadership team or your connect group leader to help you in that. And T, transform. Reflect on what God is doing. Look for the signs of change in the situation, but also look for how he has transformed your heart, your habits, and your relationship with him. Church, will you join with me in trying it just for 1 week? Because could you imagine if we all did it for 1 week? What would change? Ourselves. We'd all be journeying on our Jesus adventure, saying yes to him in true trust and obedience. We'd learn to hear his voice, the voice of a God who is longing to close the gap and be close to his people. We'd have a church that is seeking to follow the call of God, and we're not being at risk of a church of just listeners, but a church of doers who follow what God is saying. We become a church who step out in faith, who share powerful stories of God's leading, and help others to hear his voice and follow him too. And imagine what it does to the community out there. We'd have a community that has a church that trusts and obeys, who bring light to the darkness. Where places of pain and need, Christians come in and bring God's truth and love, transformation and compassion. A community that regularly hears and sees the good news of Jesus. A community that starts to believe. Church, what if we really did this? What if we really trusted God this week? What if we really obeyed his voice this week? God is calling you. How will you respond? Will you trust and obey?